Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globetrotting program, Alhamdulillah, where we talk travel. And on this lovely Sunday morning, you know, just last night I was talking to somebody. I don't think we really had a winter as such this year. The days were quite warm. Some mornings and evenings were a bit nippy, but otherwise during the day we had lovely, lovely weather this winter. So Alhamdulillah, we had, you know, it was quite good for, even for this, normally when it comes to school opening, you'll find that it becomes very, very cold, you know. But Alhamdulillah, it was fantastic weather we had. And today also, what a lovely day outside, Alhamdulillah. All those fishermen out there that's gone fishing and is going fishing, I think you're going to have a great, great catch today, inshallah. But that's the way it is. And also, people are all preparing now for their Hajj. Lots of people are getting ready to move on already. And those that didn't get listed, unfortunately, inshallah, better luck next. In fact, I was talking to somebody from Sahuk. I called them during the week to make inquiries for somebody. And the waiting list and the waiting period is very, very long. And, you know, it is said that we got to wait for or put our names on going for Hajj, because the anticipation of going for Hajj is something which everybody wants to do, wants to get done with. And when they can, at that particular time, they feel that they can do it, so just rather get it done with and move on. But it's just not, with this whole waiting period, unfortunately, it fizzles out after a while, where you feel you wanted to go immediately and then you got to wait 2, 3, 4 years even. So when I was talking to them this week, I asked them, there was an application made in 2012, 2013 for somebody very close to me. And I was just making inquiries on the name, and they said, you probably have to wait another year or so, if not two. So, you know, it's a bit difficult. And those that are going, inshallah, Allah make it easy for all of you that are going for Hajj. And I hope all of you that are preparing to go for Hajj went and made peace with all your insan, human beings around you. Made peace with them first before you go meet your Creator. And also ask for forgiveness to all those that you came into contact with, not only those that you were good to and you are still in, or that you're still in contact with, those that you shied away from, or you stay away from people, or you probably had some disputes with them, whatever it is. Those are the people you got to go to and ask for maaf and ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, like I mentioned the other day as well, you're going there for asking Allah for help and saying, Ya Allah, please forgive me. But when what you left is all your dirty linen behind at home, and now you're gone back, that doesn't help. So ask for forgiveness before you go for Hajj. And today it's become a trend where before you go for Hajj, you create a party and all those things, even big time, you know. It's become a trend for that as well. And it's unfortunate that these things happen. But Alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy for one and all. And all those that are going, Allah make it easy for you as well. Provided you have fulfilled your rights and duties amongst your fellow Muslimin around. And also not only Muslims, non-Muslims as well, if you've heard them. And on this side, before you go for Hajj, so Allah make it easy for one and all, inshallah. So Alhamdulillah, all those that are going, you know, it's just one great feeling. I can only imagine how beautiful it is. And Allah make it easy. And Allah accept one and all's du'as. And if you do remember, on behalf of Radio Islam, all the Radio Islam personnel as well, if you do remember, just when you go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, convey the salams of all the Radio Islam, the presenters and all the engineers and whoever's instrumental in Radio Islam, convey salams to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you do remember, that is. Many a times we tend to tell the people when they go in for Hajj, when you go there, convey my salams to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think, you know, we should try and just be very, very careful, because if you say so that you must, then if that person doesn't, then it becomes a bit difficult. So always say, if you do remember. So that is the way we should mention it, Alhamdulillah. Now, there's many, many developments taking place when it comes to travel and so on. And as far as that visa issue in South Africa is concerned, and those biometric visa applications around the world, from all the different South African embassies around the world, I think there's going to be a review. There was talk about having a review of that, because Minister Malusi Gigaba was adamant that it's going to be that way and it's going to stay that way. But I think there's talk that there may be some changes, and it's probably, inshallah, for the interest of the country, the better of the country. I just hope that that particular incident gets resolved and we get tourism sorted out again, because that is something which is very, very important to the country. Now, when it comes to Islam in the different parts of the world, when it comes to Islam in different countries, as time we talk to people all the time, and you find that there's so much of development of people wanting to know more about Islam in different parts of the world because of the negative publicity which the West is portraying, and also the media portrays the negative publicity that's being portrayed. Allah is changing those conditions, and alhamdulillah, Allah is making it such where there are people asking about Islam, people requesting from different sources about Islam, wanting to know more about Islam. And inshallah, that will make a change throughout the world, where people now realize what Islam is all about. And also all these new organizations that are coming up, fighting in the name of Allah, but doing so many wrong things, unfortunately, creating a bad name for Islam. But that is also a plot of, I would say, to discredit Islam. But Allah will protect Islam, inshallah. Allah will protect Islam. Now, as we know, Russia was a communist state, and Russia was massive. And there, when you say communism, remember, it's a system which you cannot pray openly, you cannot declare your religion openly. And unfortunately, it happened so in Russia. And Russia, when it was a superpower, being communist for many, many, many years on end, was very difficult for the Muslims. And the Soviet Union, which it was then known, the Soviet Union, it was a state comprising of 15 communist republics, which existed from 1922 until its dissolution into a series of separate nation states. And in 1991, of these 15 republics, 6 had a Muslim majority. So you can imagine living in countries that were communist, and having communist countries when they opened up Muslim majorities. You're looking at Azerbaijan, looking at Kazakhstan, then you're looking at Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan as well. And there was also a large Muslim presence in the Volga Ural region, and most of the population of North Caucasus of Russian Federation were Muslims, and a large number of Tatar Muslims lived in Siberia and also other regions there. And there were so many Muslims. And after 1991, when there was a breakup and they became independent states, all of them, that's when the different religions then started splitting, and Islam really, really showed out, and Islam was being practiced. But unfortunately, at that time, from then as well, there was infiltration of the opposite parties, I would call them, and there was a bit of suppression of the deen of Islam. But Allah made it such that they are open Muslims now in those countries. And there's so much to Russia, the country itself, the history itself. There's so much to Russia to talk about because of the rich history that Russia had, and because of the size of Russia, I would say, and because it is so huge, there's so much to know about it. And especially if you break it down to the different countries and the different states that you have that were in that particular Soviet Union, there's so much to know about it. And alhamdulillah, we really, really, I would say, grateful to many people who've been to Russia and who's worked in Russia and done so much of work in Russia to try and get the perception changed. Although Moscow at the moment is also very difficult to work in, but there are lots of people trying. There's deen that's being spread in Moscow. It may be underground as well, but it's really, really, really improving and really, I would say, expanding across the whole of the ex-Soviet Union. And Afesiraj, Jazakallah for joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I think you are the fundi of knowing Russia so well, because you've been there so many times and you've discussed about Russia many, many a times, that when we talk to so many people that asking them about the history of Russia, I think from all of them that I've spoken to, you know most about what Russia was and what Russia is currently today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Jazakallah for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me, Muhammad?
I can hear you loud and clear, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for joining us on the Sunday morning. And when it comes to talking Russia, you know, I've said and spoke to you for a long time about Russia, and alhamdulillah, your knowledge on Russia and the richness that you have of Russia in your intelligence, alhamdulillah, it just surpasses me.
In Russian, when you say good morning or hello, you say privyet.
So that's what we're going to say now. And I need to learn another. You know, whenever we go to different countries of the world, we tend to learn the greetings and the basic, just the basics. But when it comes to the Russian greetings and the language itself, it sounds a bit difficult for us, especially with the tongue twisters that we have in Russia.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Muhammad, Jazakallah for having me on the program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, inshallah, and your radio station.
Jazakallah, alhamdulillah. Now, Afsab, when it comes to Russia itself, just the brief that I mentioned, just a few sentences which I've just mentioned of Russia itself being a Soviet Union state and then which collapsed in 1992 and it then split up. Now, Russia, before the 90s, it was very, very difficult to practice Islam. That's what we know. And having all that and the number of Muslims that are in Russia at the moment, this the ex-Soviet Union, it's mind-boggling of the count of Muslims. Now, with having communism and so many Muslims coming out of there, when you've been to Russia so many times, how did you look at Russia currently now and knowing the history of Russia with all the Muslims that have now popped up, popped up in that particular region?
Muhammad, what happened before 1991 was a very, very sad state of affairs, purely because it was a plan by the Marxists and the communists at that time to become a superpower and to bring their ideology into the whole world. By doing that, they made an effort from Lenin's time and Stalin's time to go through to the Muslim countries that was part of the Soviet Union later. They went to them and they lied to them by saying to them that we will create this kind of atmosphere where everybody will be equal and people will have, you know, many rights, those kind of things. And they made them sign certain things. The Muslim leaders at that particular time from Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, all these countries, they were fooled into accepting the new proposals of the Soviet Union at that time. When the Soviet Union started developing and they all had signed that they will become part of the Soviet Union, they realized later on that their rights of religion was taken away from them, and it was too late for them to make effort to turn the thing around. They were already now under control. Some of the presidents or kings or whoever they were also taken away. And then, of course, they set up this whole thing about how communism normally worked, where every person would become a spy onto another person, especially in the homes, in schools and places like that. So the whole of the Soviet Union became very, very difficult for Muslims to practice Islam. There was a few acts that were left out because the communists, Allah Ta'ala wanted to protect Islam. So Allah Ta'ala made it that some of the things the kuffar didn't understand how to handle it, so they left it out. For example, when there was a mayat or janaza in any part of Russia or in the other part, then the ulama of that time who were still living, many, many millions were killed, or hundreds and thousands of them were killed. Those that were left behind to maintain Islam, they mentioned to the communist government and the rulers that, look, a person has died. And in our tradition, they never used to say it as Islam, not a sunnat or a faraiz. They used to say that it is part of our adab.
Culture.
We gather and we pray for these people. That means the souls of those that have died. And in that, Allah Ta'ala made it that they protected Islam. As I say, for example, many things that we do, people do in the world today, which will be mentioned that this is bid'ah. Sometimes some bid'ah is beneficial for the ummah in particular places and a particular time. At that particular time, we know that we as Muslims, after the 3 days of demise of a person, we do not practice on any other things that means like, you know, 14 days and 40 days and 1 year and those kind of things. But the ulama of that time used their tactic by gathering people on the 14th day, the 40th day, 100th day, whatever day, they used excuses. Now, there were many, many janazas obviously taking place all over the show. The people were not taught in madrasa, or there was no majlis to go and practice Islam. So whoever those leaders were, meaning Muslim leaders, ulama, whoever they were, they used to read like how we have the khadad being done, or we have the yasin and khatams being done at the janazah. This was carried out every time purely so that they could educate the Muslims. And Allah made it that over the years, whatever little they could teach people in this way, they did it. There were very few places where the whole deen was taken totally underground, where nobody was told about it openly, but there were few ulama that you were underground. For example, in Dagestan, they had proper darul ulooms and madrasas running really in the true sense of underground, meaning they had bunkers and they used to sit there and children were kept in secret, and they were taught how to accept, how to learn deen, how to practice Quran and do the other parts of Islam, but they were not allowed to come outside. So for some years they would remain underground. So that was before 1991.
And it was all done, as it sounds like it was done with hikmat. And if you're saying where they did this bid'ah with hikmat just to hold the deen together, because if they didn't do that, then the people wouldn't have come together, and that is why we're looking at those 40 days and 100 days and all those things where people had to come back together, and that was just an excuse for the Muslims to then to do learning and teaching. That's the hikmah that they used, it looks like.
Correct. At the same time, Allah Ta'ala made it that many efforts was made throughout the world, and people were crying, and the people of the country also must have cried who had sincerity in their heart for the love of Islam, that Allah Ta'ala should break the communism. So a time came, of course, where Allah Ta'ala answered the du'as. Unfortunately, came very, very late. Not because of anything, but because of the hikmat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wanted it like that. The sad part was that maybe 70 to 90 years, most of the people had not practiced Islam and had forgotten Islam. The sunnahs were no more said as sunnahs. They were known as adab and adab, and like a traditional thing. I remember very well that our Maulana Murad, when we used to mention things to him and say that this is part of Islam and this is the sunnah, he used to say that I know this as a adab, that means as a traditional act, and never knew so that it was a sunnah.
They changed the way things were done just to make sure that it's kept together like that, alhamdulillah. Afsar, there's so much to know more about it, but what we'll do is we're already on newsstand. We'll continue with the whole Russian topic and more about the in-depth of Islam in Russia as well, right after the news.
Inshallah.
From the heights of Kilimanjaro to the depths of Jericho, and from the white sandy beaches and blue waters of islands in the Indian Ocean to the dense forests of the Amazon on the South American continent, turn dreams into reality as we explore different destinations with myself, Muhammad Lambat. Tune in and listen to the views of ambassadors and counselors on Sundays between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on the Globe Trotting Show.
Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. As you heard in the promo, we listened to the views of ambassadors and counselors on this program. I think we should say Hafiz Siraj is an ambassador of Russia, or a counselor of Russia also. I think we should call him like that. Alhamdulillah. But that's the way it is. And we try to get as much information as possible from wherever, just to impart to the people and get the listeners out there to get more familiar with information. There's been so much of information that we try to get for the listeners, and alhamdulillah, the feedback that we get from the listeners, it makes me feel so comfortable to note that people out there are taking heed of what we're talking of different countries when it comes to tourism, when it comes to the Islam part of it, when it comes to anything to do with outside countries, and people take note of certain things, alhamdulillah. Like this week, I was talking to somebody, alhamdulillah, I met him somewhere in Johannesburg area, and he saw me while just generally talking. He's a prominent person, alhamdulillah, and while talking to him, he says, you know, you should make mention of one thing, which I had done several times before, but I'll take heed of what he said, alhamdulillah, and it's really, really correct in what he said that I should do. That when, I must make mention that when anybody goes away for a holiday to any country of the world that is, they should first of all, before leaving South Africa, find out where the markaz of that particular country is, where the main masjid and Islamic centers are of that particular country, and look at the location where you're going to for a holiday, and see if in that region there's a markaz, there's madrasas or there's masjids, whatever it may be. Take information of that particular center, Islamic center, whatever it is, and when you reach the destination, before you do anything, try and get to that particular madrasa, masjid, Islamic center, markaz, whatever it may be. And from there, you then ask those people to assist when it comes to halal haram, when it comes to masjids, when it comes to our deen. Because like I mentioned time and time again, we go for a holiday, we go away from here, we take our passports and go. That doesn't mean we're taking our passports with us to the country we're going to and we leave behind our Islam. We should, with the passport that we have in our hand, our Islam must be with it all the time. And we should get to wherever we are and make sure our deen comes first. Because you'll find sometimes, unfortunately, people go and they travel abroad when they get to other countries and it becomes so lax, which I've seen for myself, where they would eat chicken from just anywhere and say, if you say Bismillah, it becomes halal because you're traveling. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. You got to try your utmost best and make sure that you try and locate halal food. It doesn't have to be meat that you got to eat if you're traveling. If it comes to a point where you just got to eat vegetable, you got to do that. You have to do that. There's no option. You must do that if you cannot get halal meat wherever you are. So it's important. And I take note of what many listeners also say from time to time. They would suggest I really, really take heed of that and I mention it. So alhamdulillah, this was a great point which I would like to just bring up to the listeners. And it was somebody very prominent in Johannesburg that brought it up to my attention, and I repeat it again, which I had done before, but I would repeat it, and I repeated it, and I will repeat it, because it's something which is of utmost importance. Before we carry on with Hafiz Siraj on Russia, I got a message which I really, really laughed, and it's very something very short, and I laughed. I got it during the week, and I keep on reading it, and I just laugh when I read this particular joke. It says, the man asks a sheikh, or a sheikh, if I'm praying and a lion crosses in front of me, do I run or do I continue praying? The man asks the sheikh, if I'm praying and a lion crosses in front of me, do I run or do I continue praying? The sheikh gave a beautiful answer. And he says, if the lion crosses and you still haven't broken your wudu, continue with your salah. What, you know, when I read that, I just laughed and I said, Allah, what a brilliant answer he gave. And obviously, when you see a lion in front of you, what are you going to do? Your wudu is going to break first. That's what's going to happen. But alhamdulillah, we're talking Russia today. And I find Russia to be very, very interesting. I was going through doing some research on Russia. And there's so much of information that Russia has got because of what Russia had been, the communism that came in, and Russia was the superpower, what Russia did around the world, and the wars that were then fought, and all those things. There's just amazing, amazing, amazing history. And with all that, there's so much of rich Islamic history with Russia and in Russia and during the USSR and, you know, during the Soviet Union times and so on. There's so much of rich Islamic history also. So there's so much to talk about. But in our short time, just to grasp and get a bit of information, we have Hafiz Siraj who's been discussing with us before the news as well, telling us about Russia and also Islam in Russia. How difficult it was to practice Islam in a communist country and how how a Muslim, how you would go to different lengths just to make yourself please Allah, no matter how or what you do, to please Allah. And Allah accept. You know, unfortunately, we in South Africa, we have this notion that if you do something which is just off the track, slightly off the track, which is still Islamic, but then they say, no, that is not good, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and we become so strict that there are times when we make it so difficult that those that want to look at Islam from the outside, who's not Muslim, and they look at those things and they say, no, 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 this is not for me. So we make it difficult upon us and upon our fellow human beings and also the non-Muslims around us. So we should look at of spreading the deen with hikmat. And like Hafiz said before the news, the way they did the spreading of learning and teaching in Russia during the difficult times, it was a hikmat. So Hafiz Ab, Jazakallah for joining us, and there's so much of great information and lots of information which these things, which when you associate with the Russian people, then only you will know how difficult it was for them to practice the deen, because we in South Africa are so comfortable and we don't realize what difficulty these people go through. Now that you travel so much and we go around and we look at the different Islamic centers around the world, and then you realize how difficult to practice Islam in other countries as compared to South Africa, and we take it for granted, Afisa.
Muhammad, this has been one of my main topics whenever Allah gave me topic to ever speak and give da'wat about conditions of Muslims in the world. Always mention this, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed South Africa with great, great things and opportunities to serve the Muslims in the world. Amongst the things that we have to understand as South Africans is that if you look at the history of particularly Russia, you'll find that these people were far ahead, maybe, you know, light years away in front of us as far as deen is concerned. You must know the kind of ulama that they had produced in the Soviet, you know, in extended Soviet Union, Imam Bukhari, the likes of Imam Tirmizi, Imam Muslim. Today, if you want to become an alim, you cannot complete your alim course unless you have read these kind of, the books of these people. On your nizam that you start off your show, you know, there's the last hadith of Imam Bukhari's kitab. So it just shows you that, you know, how important it is. One very, very great buzruk mentioned once, that at the time when the Soviets were not, when the Soviet government was there, and the Muslims couldn't help the Muslims at that time of Russia or Soviet Union, it was understood that we had no way to go inside and help them. But today, after knowing that they have some sort of freedom, it is for us that we help them and make effort so that we pay them back for the deen that they had passed on to us.
Gee.
So Muhammad, yes, like how you say, the hikmat was used by the ulama or the elders of the people, and Allah made it, some sort of deen was still around. And of course, when 1991 came, Allah Ta'ala made it that through the wars and effort of people, Allah Ta'ala made it that the Soviet Union broke up. But unfortunately, as you know, the world politics and how it carries on, they paint the picture to show that many, many things are okay, and everybody has freedom of religion. Unfortunately, in Russia, it is not as it is said to the world.
Gee.
Muslims in Russia, they have great difficulty. On the day of Eid, for example, in Moscow, they have like four masjids only, and they have a population of more than 4 million Muslims in that city. 50,000 people getting together, it amazes us to see 50,000 people going for Eid namaz. But you must remember that 50,000 people, they have to go through scanners, and it is said that it is a protection for those people. But in reality, we know that Muslims are going to pray, and they make things difficult so that they can bring less and less people together for the Eid namaz. It took 10 years for them to renovate one masjid. $50 million was collected for the masjid. The mayor of Moscow stole the money. And many, many things like that keep on going on in Russia. For example, we had the intention of building a masjid in Russia, We purchased a piece of land. South African people donated for it. And that particular piece of land was chosen by us. We started from foundation level, came up to the first, first windows. It means at the first level. Immediately, something happened, and they told us we should sell our money, and we should leave the country, and we're not allowed to build a masjid. It's now 6 years that have passed. We still got difficulty with the government. There's no freedom of religion in the proper sense. That's why when you mention that Muslims in South Africa have freedom of religion and they have the opportunity of doing so many things in ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, this does not exist in the whole world, and especially in Russia. I personally have a wife from Russia, and you can see that the appreciation that they have by coming to South Africa and coming to London, every day the application from children from that part of the world asking us to help them to, so that they can go and learn Deen. Coming back to what happened after 1991, Muhammad, the Muslims of Russia, obviously when they realized that they are free to a certain extent, they were going crazy. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening, sir. Continue.
Yeah, they went crazy, meaning in the sense that they wanted to go and learn Deen. And they went out to go and learn Islam, obviously thinking that the source of Islam, where the root is, where the foot of the water is, or the mountain where the water comes from, where it originates from, is Medina Munawara.
Gee.
They flocked towards places like that in the Arab world also, and they went to go and learn Islam. Unfortunately, they picked up part of Islam, and some of it they came back with, which has become a fitna unto the people of Russia. My brother, I'm going to say to you how it is. They went there, they came back as Salafis, and how you know that this is today followers of the ISIS and people tricked into the ISIS, ideology.
Gee.
At the moment, my brother, 15,000 Muslims from Russia have joined the ISIS. And they are, that's what I'm trying to say, is they are so ready to learn Islam, that whatever comes to them, they are going towards it, and they go to make effort, they want to learn this Islam. They've been told that this is a black flag, that this is where you should be. And 14,000 youth, imagine, from Russia, have rushed towards Syria and Iraq to go and give their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they obviously have been tricked into.
And my for brother, them, they feel it's right because obviously they've been out to learn Islam, and while learning, they were probably indoctrinated into that type of Islam. So it's also very important as to look at the root of where you would like to learn the deen. Now, with these people, with the hunger that they have for deen, like Hafsa, you just said that they went to the first place and they felt that that is the place to go to, and let's go there and learn deen. Unfortunately, that's not all so rosy the way it seems, that that's where you are going to learn exactly what's correct, because you do have people that infiltrated those centers, those Mubarak centers, unfortunately, and are teaching their way and their ideologies to the rest of the world, whom we think that that is the right place to be, but then you have these unfortunate incidences, and from there it becomes a massive following. And this is exactly what you're talking about and telling us that that's what happened. And with the Russians being so hungry for deen, that's like you just said, they rushed off there, and unfortunately it wasn't the right decision to make. So it's important we as South Africans as well, when it comes to for us to go out and learn and seek knowledge, we should also look at the root sources of where to learn and which is the right way. We should first make inquiries before we even go out and just blindly go to certain places and say, okay, that's where we are going to go learn our deen. So it's what you're telling us is very, very important for us as a lesson in South Africa, I think.
Correct. Muhammad, the thing is, many of those that came back in Russia, they have become an obstacle to many of the traditional way of the Muslims. For example, Hanafi Madhab, the Shafi Madhab, these youth have come back and they have, gone loggerheads against the elderly people who have maintained Islam for 90 years, like we mentioned in the early part of the program. And today they are saying that this is bid'ah, and this is haram, and this is kufr. And there's a great amount of, disunity amongst the Muslims at the moment. in Russia where they are fighting each other. And of course, the kuffar are sitting at your side and they're laughing. And some of them are enjoying it. You know, what is the most surprising thing is that normal masjids, like I said to you, there's only four. But for the Salafis, the Russian government has allowed them to have a masjid. Imagine, a new masjid that was built is allowed for the Salafis to have, and they're practicing it openly, and nobody is stopping them. That means the government is very, very happy to have these kind of guys so they can destroy Islam from within. You understand what I'm saying?
So it just
Muhammad?
Goes to show that these people know exactly what the negatives of Islam is, and that's what they promote. So it's all a conspiracy of the world, I would say, the way it's happening.
100%. And at the same time, they're making so much effort. For example, I was in Azerbaijan. You know, I'm going a little off from Russia, but it's part of the Soviet Union. I was there in Azerbaijan. There's not a single madrasa where children are sitting and learning Alif Ba Ta Tha. There's a masjid that was built by the Turkish just after 1991 or 1994. It is a beautiful masjid on the blacks, or I don't know exactly which sea it is, but it is, you know, faced in Baku, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. There's a beautiful masjid built there by the Turkish. It is across the road from the Azerbaijan parliament. My brother, because they used to give adhan every day, the government of Azerbaijan, which is supposedly to be, you know, supposedly Muslim, they're supposed to be Muslim, Allahu Akbar. Imagine they passed a law that stopped this adhan because it is disturbing us while we are in parliament. And at the same time, in Azerbaijan itself, which has a population of maybe 2 or 3 million Muslims in Baku itself, that particular city has been promoted as a, you know, the land of fire and whatever it is. But at the same time, you will not find a single madrasa. Jamaat work is not allowed in an open way. There is one or two masjids where we can go read Juma Namaz in the way that we know Juma Namaz is performed. The rest of the country has about 11 or 12 masjids and musallas, of which 6 have already been closed down by the government of Azerbaijan. Now, can you imagine, like how you say, the Muslims are on the rise. They want Islam. They want deen to come alive. But unfortunately, the hand of the shaitan and kuffar in the whole of Soviet Union, that means Azerbaijan, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, they got their hands on the Muslims. And if they want them to promote Islam, they show them the wrong way. They will create things so that people get attracted towards it and go there so that they can get themselves into difficulty. For example, we have our Maulana Murad from Russia, who studied here in Madaris Zakaria. Many, many Muslims in South Africa or in Gauteng especially know him. My brother, the man was doing Gush, Allah gave me opportunity that we were fundamental in bringing him to South Africa and let him become an alim. The man went back to Russia. He phoned me about 2 weeks ago, after 1.5 years. He mentioned to me that we were doing Gush. Every single boy in that, you know, in that area that were doing Gush, their phones were kept by the government. Now this is what happens. They one day catch them and the police catch them and they took them in and they said they were going to arrest them. Murad and his friends asked, what are we getting arrested for? They said, no, we're arresting you that in future you will become a terrorist organization, and therefore that we're going to arrest you and put you into jail. Can you imagine that? They're doing normal Gush. There's nothing happening. They're not gathering people and no guns, no, there's nothing involved in there. But this is what they arrested them for. Unfortunately, they gave him a sentence for 2.5 years, and he is now house arrest for the acts of doing that he did. I mean, doing Gush. Now, if
Allah
you say that it's freedom of religion, then that's
doing
the freedom
right
of religion.
Allah will make it easy for him, inshallah.
Correct. By the way, he gave salam to many, many people. So I can't meet the whole of country, so Allah gave me opportunity. Let me just mention, he gave salam to everybody, and jazakallah for all the du'as that the people made for him.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's very important. You know, when it comes to, like, when we look at even the research that I've been doing on Russia, the picture that's painted is so great about Islam, how Islam is open and freedom of religion and so on now in the whole of Russia after the Soviet Union collapse and so on. It paints that picture in front and it shows that there's no problem whatsoever. But it's only then from within where you know, and you know these things, that's when you realize that it's not as hunky-dory and rosy as the way the media shows. And that's exactly what I've been reading. And just, I was busy with it this morning as well, and I'm just going through some of the information. And I found that I really, really thought that Islam is now opening up in Russia, and because of the suppression of Islam, Allah has made it such that Islam is now going to be is totally open and easy to be practiced in all these particular states. But Allah alone knows best, and Allah knows best why, and also how these things are being done. It's the media that portrays all these things, so it's important that we don't just go like blind sheep towards listening to reading what the media tells us and believe what that is. Because what you're telling us now is it's a different picture altogether from what the media is giving us. So Allah make it easy for us all, alhamdulillah, and Allah protect us all from all this fitna that is going through. And you know, it's just very difficult to understand. And also, when it comes to practicing deen, we find sometimes you cannot fathom that how is Islam just stopped like that in certain countries, how they would block Islam and so on. But it's said that that's the true reality. That's the reality, sad reality of what exactly happens around the world. And now in Russia also. But as we mentioned, that there are the majority of Muslim countries within the Soviet Union which broke up, which we're looking at, as you mentioned now, Azerbaijan, then you look at Kazakhstan, then Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan. Now there there's been lots of ulama there, as you mentioned, and I guess with all that also, they destroyed lots of ulama, I believe, during those times, during the early times. But with all that, the Sunni Muslim population, what's the Sunni Muslim population in general across all those countries?
Most of the countries or most of Soviet Union is Sunni. You'll find a place like Azerbaijan that has maybe more than 40% that is Shia. And then you'll find a place that is called, I think, Kyrgyzstan. It's Kazakhstan. One of them, sorry, Marv, I might be wrong, and somebody will phone and say, you know what, you were wrong. But one of those neighboring countries we speak Iranian language, meaning that they speak just Persian, sorry, Marv. That particular country is also, or maybe more than 50%, they are Shia. So there is Shiaism around there, but those are mostly neighboring Iran. And you will find that those areas there, Muslims or Sunnis, they don't have an open problem. But of course, it is always there. It is inside. Whenever the opportunity will arise, they will make an effort to go and destroy those people, or they'll make effort to finish off those people. For example, like I was saying, in Azerbaijan, the government is pro Illuminati. There are many, many signs of the Dajjal Eye, which we know as the Pyramid and the Eye. You'll find it everywhere in the whole of Azerbaijan, in Baku. The government is pro-Illuminati, or what you call Rothschild. I don't know what they know them as. But they are pro-American and pro-everything. Can you imagine? That just now in May, they had the European sports. Imagine, Azerbaijan is nowhere near Europe, but they have the European sports activity taking place in Azerbaijan. And they built a huge stadium for that. So you find, yes, of course, you find Shiaism around there, but most of the Muslims, alhamdulillah, in the whole of Soviet Union, are Sunni, alhamdulillah.
So that's important where we have that, and inshallah, Allah will make it possible, and Allah will probably, it has to be, where the people's eyes will open up, and there will be the uprising of the Sunni Muslim, the proper way, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of Islam. And inshallah, that will really, really prevail in all those countries. Because at the moment, as we can see around the world, Muslim, Islam is at its lowest, almost at its lowest, and it cannot stay like that forever. So inshallah, Allah will make it easy for all. And having such a big country as, or not country, I would say it used to be the USSR, which was about the biggest, and with the different beliefs that came out from there as well. It makes it very difficult to understand that with all these religions being suppressed, Islam still stood out properly. And I think that will be the biggest fear for all these nations around the world. That having suppressed a religion for so long, and yet when it opens up, you still get a true religion that comes out. So true way of life as well. And it is that difficulty which these people cannot understand, which Allah makes it possible. And inshallah, Islam will prevail and Islam will stand out in all these places, because that is what's going to happen, inshallah. So we make dua to the Almighty Allah.
100%.
In that particular region, having so many Muslims, Allah must make it possible that their hearts are changed and they must get the true understanding of what the deen is, inshallah. So what information I heard about Russia, which I was going to really, really chat about quite a bit of the Islam in Russia, we are looking at it slightly differently from what, in the offset, what I really thought Islam was all about in Russia.
Muhammad, just to mention, that country is Tajikistan, and they have more than 50% that is Shia also. But while we were talking all the time, it sounds that we are talking most of the time negatively. But I want to bring something up as a point, that as Europe, you see the Western Europe, and of course this is Eastern Europe. You know, one thing I have noticed and I've seen for over the years, and this is something that should encourage all Muslims in the world, and that should keep our iman strong. That remember, at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa makaru wa makar Allah, wallahu khairul makirin, that everybody plans and people plan whatever the, but Allah Ta'ala in the end, He plans the best. As you see, for example, if you look at the news nowadays, you will find that all those migrants going into Europe, some of them drowning, does that, whatever, they're going with their own intentions. But Allah Ta'ala has His own wisdom in sending them to those places. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala has made it that the kuffar came up with a thing to destroy Islam. For example, currently at the moment in Russia, before 1991, they used to have school uniform, where they used to wear, you know, the normal school uniform, which was like communist, communists wanted it to be like that. From 1991 until this year, it means now September will be the new year starting. They were free like Americans to wear normal clothes and civilian clothes to go to school. From this September, the government of Russia has deliberately brought back school uniform, so that Muslim girls cannot wear scarves anymore in the schools. Do you understand that? That means they are making effort. But at the same time, in their own ways, when they're trying to do this human rights thing and they're trying to protect, you know, their own lifestyle and wanting to bring their lifestyle into our lives, Allah Ta'ala, by His wisdom, like I mentioned the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has His plan. And like how you see all the migrants going into the Western Europe, Allah Ta'ala is making that the population of Western Europe is becoming more Muslim and more Islamic. And very, very shortly you will find that more of the population will be Islamic and the people will get hidayat in the whole of Western Europe. And similarly, Allah Ta'ala has His plan that the Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan and all of those people that were part of the Soviet Union, the Russian Federation allows them to come at work as migrants. And Allah Ta'ala has made it, although they have stopped the tabligh by government law, the Kyrgyzstan people who work there, they are not stopped from doing tabligh. Allah Ta'ala has made it that around Moscow, 25,000 Kyrgyzstan homes are ready to keep Jamaat, but the only Kyrgyz people can move around. So Allah Ta'ala, by His wisdom, is making deen to come alive. Maybe you go to the masjid, you will find no Jamaat. But Allah's karam and ihsan, the work is taking place. Like how in Europe Allah is sending the migrants and hidayat will come. Today you find that in Germany and this place and that place. Many, many people now accepting Islam. Allah Ta'ala has made it that Alhamdulillah, Islam will prevail. It was a dua of Rasulullah SAW that the kuffar must never have an upper hand of the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala is proving that the kuffar will never, ever, never, ever have an upper hand on the Muslims, inshallah Ta'ala.
Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. So, Jazakallah for that. We're already out of time. Jazakallah for briefing us and giving us this insight about Russia. It was very, very
2 hours.
In fact, I couldn't even talk much because I'm stunned with some of the stuff that you're telling us as well. And Alhamdulillah, it's good information for us also. And it will be podcasted. It will be podcasted on Radio Islam's website, www.radioislam.co.za. Inshallah, under podcast, you search for Muhammad Lambat and or Globetrotting, and you'll find all our podcasts, even those in the past and current. You'll find them all podcasted. So if you do want to listen, Alhamdulillah, you can listen to it. If those that didn't get to hear it, and if you get people that want to know, please, you can go on to the Radio Islam website. And the podcast, you'll pick up this particular podcast as well, inshallah. And let's learn from there. Let's learn from what's happening. And we as Muslims in South Africa, we should take great, great, great lesson from all these things that's happening. And we should make shukr to the Almighty Allah that currently, we still have the freedom of deen in this country. You know, unfortunately, we have these forces that are trying to get in. And we really must make shukr to the Almighty Allah that we are with Islam where we are, because of the present government who's allowing us to practice deen. And we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah must change their condition for the better, inshallah. Let things happen for the better so that we can still continue with the freedom of our deen. Because you get ulama and you get people coming from different parts of the world, and they find it very, very, very strange. And they find it shocking that Islam is so freely practiced in South Africa. And Allah keep it that way, inshallah. And I have family who's working in one of these major corporate offices. And he time and time again tells us, he says that he's got a beard, he's got a long beard, alhamdulillah, sunnah beard, and he's with Pabun with his salah during office time. Zohar also, he makes sure that every day his diary is blocked off for Zohar Salat, so he has to be out of that office. So it's termed as a meeting out for him, and he's gone for his lunchtime, whatever. But he gives us this one, time and time again, he tells us that people from around the world come to that particular organization. When they come there, and when they see him with this long sunnah beard, alhamdulillah, and when they see him going for Salah during the day as well, when it is time for Salah, he goes and he's allowed to do that. And they come back telling him that, you know, it's amazing that in South Africa he can work in such a corporate environment with a beard like that, being a Muslim, and they allow him to be in such a senior position. Whereas in Spain, or is it, what did he say, France or wherever it may be, having a beard like that, he will never ever get a position in any top company because he has a sunnah beard. So we must make so much of shukr to the Almighty Allah that Allah allows the country as a whole to give us that position and that respect for being Muslim. So we make shukr to the Almighty Allah. And you know, as what Hafsa, as you're just saying even now, that it's so difficult that you've got to practice in underground. Here we can go for gush openly. Monday come, Thursday come, whenever it is, we go for gush openly. And we make shukr to the Almighty Allah for allowing us all that. So that is very important, Hafsa.
Yes, alhamdulillah, Muhammad. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us, inshallah.
Inshallah, Allah make it easy. Jazakallah for joining us on this Sunday morning, Hafsa. And Jazakallah for briefing us also on this Russian issue. Jazakallah, Hafsa. We really appreciate it.
Welcome.
Jazakallah for that. And inshallah, it's something which we should learn about. And this is now something which I've learned today as well, that we mustn't just take information for granted. There's more to it than what we look at the surface of that particular countries and so on. And that is why when we're going away also, when we're going for holidays, now that it's already, lots of people are now preparing for their holidays, getting their bookings done and so on. Let us make it a point where we find the Islamic centers of that particular country before going there, and let's get more information on that Islamic center as well, to see if that is correct. And from there, let us go out there, look for the masjids, and in that vicinity, we book our hotels, whatever it may be. So in that case, you go out, you have a good holiday, alhamdulillah, but also you are practicing your deen while you are, wherever you are. So that's very, very important. So that is something which we should take heed of, and we should really look into when going for a holiday also, we should look into that particular aspect first before we go on further, inshallah. So Allah make it easy, Allah protect us all, and Allah accept one and all du'as, inshallah. Make it easy for all those that are having difficulty, all those that are now preparing for all their holidays, going out for in December, January, whatever it is. Allah make it easy, especially with our rand dollar, that's the currency exchange rate at the moment. It's just rocketing, going out of the roof. Allah make it easy, and Allah make it possible that it's affordable to go out. And maybe going out with the intention of, Ya Allah, I'm going out there, let me just practice one sunnah of yours while I'm out there, and let somebody see it, and inshallah that can change somebody's heart elsewhere, and Allah will change conditions wherever it may be. So Allah make it easy for one and all, inshallah. Next week we'll continue with some great, we got something that's lined up for next week already. I'm busy with that, very important also. So we'll see what happens, and let's see if we can talk about having a relaxing holiday next week, inshallah, and something not on a very, very serious note. Because I've been taken aback, genuinely I've been taken aback today with the discussion. Inshallah, next week we'll take it a bit easy and we'll do a bit of a relaxing part of it. And let's see what happens, inshallah. Inshallah, from myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.